approaching the Natural Podcast episode 50. Dang.
Welcome to the Approaching the Natural Podcast with Sid Garza Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural Podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and you're listening to the Approaching the Natural Podcast. Welcome, welcome back, whatever suits you. And I'm just glad you're here, no matter what. And let's get rolling here. I'm going to get, it's the 50th episode. You heard me in the beginning. That proves it. And I don't know. Is it a mind blower? Is it a random number? Is it a little of both? I don't know why 50 should make any difference, but it's kind of cool. Makes me want to kind of look back a little bit. We're going also on a year, which is, you know, because I do one a week. So in, you know, on September, whatever it was, like a week away or 2 weeks away from now, about a year. So it's kind of crazy. I mean, you know, as I've said multiple times, about 16, 17 months ago, I didn't even know what a podcast was. And kind of was hearing about it and never really knew what was going on. So I decided to look into it. I asked my techie friend, a good buddy of mine, Mike Fehrenkrog, who knows his business. And I said, because I'm not embarrassed around him. Maybe I should be. But I was like, can you tell me what a podcast is? And he said, not only can I tell you what a podcast is, I can set you up. So he did. He set me up a little podcast app called Downcast. And he subscribed me to a few of the podcasts he listens to just to get a sense. And I stumbled upon a couple other ones and set myself to turning off from all other media for the next about 2 months and listen to pretty much only podcasts. That turned out to be a liberating step in and of itself, not to listen to the news. I was kind of an NPR junkie at that point. And gotta tell you, ain't missing that. And no news is good news, as far as I'm concerned. But Sid, you got to know what's going on. Yeah, I do. I get the cliff notes, but mostly I do what I can, when I can, where I can. That's kind of where I'm coming from on that. And I'm not disengaged. I actually feel more engaged on that level, more focused on how to bring my message to you. Of increasing your health and happiness, because I really do believe that we make huge changes when we make small changes and in ourselves mostly, and that has a ripple effect. And there is only so much we can do, and we should engage and we should fight for what we believe in, but that's not a substitute for attending to ourselves. And that is the message, one of the messages of this podcast. That at the end of the day, it's attending to yourself first so that then you can attend to others better. And so as I, you know, jump into this 50th episode, part of it will be a little bit of a look back, I guess. It's not like it's been 10 years, but, you know, certainly I didn't know what this podcast was going to be. I mean, I had written my book, and book was out, and I thought, well, I was on Rich's podcast. I didn't even know what that was at the time, and that turned out to be a big deal. I didn't even realize it at the time. You know, I mean, these are like I was stumbling through, you know, having never had a book out before. So when I started it, I thought, well, I'll just do interviews, and then I kept slacking. I was like, I don't want to deal with the interview thing. You know, like there's a few people I'd like to talk to, but I don't really have an idea, and getting out there on that level and trying to snag people to, you know, that whole thing, and you know, so I thought, well, why don't I just see how it plays out? And maybe I'll just do them when I can. You know, I'm the small step advocate. So even with the podcast, I was like, look, I'll just kind of jump in and do what I can and see how it unfolds. The exploration of that, the experience of that. And it did, and it unfolded. And it's been an incredible journey for me. I hate to use the word journey. It reminds me of a job that I had in high school for Domino's Pizza, the only job I ever got fired from, by the way, from a manager named Journey. I'm not kidding. His name was Journey. That should have been a sign. This was also in Texas. So anyway, this is a little taste of how this whole episode is going to be, by the way. So if this is your first episode, you're joining me at 50. I feel 50 times sorrier for you than in somebody who has joined me since day one, because they're like, oh yeah, this is par for the course. This is nutty nut nut. This is what happens. Anyway, so okay, so let's get into this a little bit, shall we? I mean, it's 50. I'm not going to dwell on it, but then again, I kind of am. But let's get some business out of the way. Special thanks, as always, to the Stanford Inn, Stanford Inn Eco Resort, and the wellness center that I head up. Joan and Jeff are, I love that place. So it's not like they're doing me a favor. I hope not, by having me run their wellness center. I think it's one of the better places in the entire world, and feel totally okay going to work there. So that's kind of something. And they've been real supportive of the book and set me up with the stuff that I needed to do this podcast. So hopefully you'll thank them too. But if you guys are deciding to ever go on the road and take a trip, it's a pretty amazing place. And takes a little effort to get here, but it's totally worth it. And we're crafting some add-on packages now. So like whenever during the year, because I know I have retreats and things like that, but those are fixed dates. So I'm within a week, you can go to probably StanfordInn.com and Living Well Mendocino. And look, and you can see, like, any time you travel in the year, you can add on a gardening / cooking / nutrition / healthy living / art, even a little package on top of your stay that includes a bunch of classes and meals and cool stuff. So it's sort of like a make your own retreat whenever you want. So if you have any questions about that, let me know, because this is me. I'm like, you know, I'm hawking it. You know, I'm plugging it because it's me. It's what I do. Anyway, so that's that. And you guys probably know how to reach me already. But if you don't, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Sid Garza Hillman, and my website, SidGarzaHillman.com. You can throw your email address in there and get notifications and blog posts and get a free chapter of my book, first chapter of my book. And also buy some cool t-shirts. I sold another one this week, which is cool. Just came in a couple days ago. And that's exciting. I do have another couple things in the works to hawk on the old site there. And I'll keep you posted on that. It does, by the way, help the podcast keep going. Help me keep the lights, the proverbial lights on, as it were, and helps you, you can support the podcast that way and get something out of it too. It's a win, called a win-win. That's a good trade. Oops, wink, wink. That's going to be coming up pretty soon in this episode. A couple more announcements. Real quick, September 13th is my next Spreecast, 11 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Spreecast.com. Just join up. It's free. And you can hang out with me for an hour and ask me questions, and people can see how I answer them. My YouTube video channel also, Sid Garza Hillman, got that brand new one up there, and people have been tuning in a little bit to that, which is cool. Thank you. And also for the likes on the nomeatathlete.com article was very cool. So okay, let's get busy with some of this stuff that we're doing here. Well, one other thing I wanted to just bring up, which I just think is kind of like just totally awesome and cool, is I got an email a few weeks ago, and actually I was wondering what had happened. I was like, okay, well, it just didn't materialize or whatever, but it was from a professor in Indiana, a professor of psychology. I don't remember, actually. I should go look at the email, or I don't know, prep for the podcast better. But she emailed me and asked if it would be okay if her students downloaded my free chapter, because they were talking about nutrition and she felt like that was a good chapter on a good resource for them to learn about it. And I always say, and I'm not even joking, that my first chapter is all you need to know about nutrition. Literally all you need to know. Is it complicated in the world? Yes. Is that because most people are trying to sell you something? You betcha. It's really not that complicated. No wild animals are complicating things the way that we do, but they're not trying to sell books and pills and everything else. I can complicate it for you. I can surely complicate it and make your head spin. And then right when your head is spinning and you can't focus on any one thing, that's when I'll swoop in and I'll sell you a bottle of pills and tell you that this will make it simple for you. Or I can do what I do in this podcast, which is to simplify the subject itself and then help you implement change in your life in a way that lasts for the rest of your life. Which one do you want to do? If you're still with me, then you chose me. Or you chose me in addition to the other podcasts you listen to. And that's cool too, man. Listen to all sides. Make your own decision. Okay? Okay. Anyway, so those students are downloading because I see. So then that was that. And I was like, yeah, of course I wrote back. I was like, totally. That'd be awesome and good for it because my little manifesto did make it a little bit into the hands of college students, not to the extent that I had hoped it would, but that's okay. But definitely some college students found their way to the little book that fits in your back pocket and as a reminder to small step your life. And that was kind of cool. So hopefully if any of those students are listening, good on you. And what a great time for you to start in these things, because small steps is such a relatable and a possible way to live. You can begin it at any age, and because you're going to learn to take on what you can without making yourself miserable in the process. And sometimes that means, you know, in college, you're partying, you're doing all that stuff, but that doesn't mean it's either or. That doesn't mean you cannot take care of yourself at all. And what it means is that you can begin the process of small step and healthy behaviors, even in a minimal way that doesn't upset your college experience or whatever you think you need to get out of college or experience or sow your wild oats or all that kind of stuff. And so it's empowering in the whole way, but it sets you up for behaviors. Next thing you know, 20 years later, you're still kicking it in a good way. So, you know, that's how that goes. Okay. So 2 seconds on my meditation, still rolling, obviously. So the journaling thing took on too much, backed it back down. I'm journaling every night. That's worked out great. Meditation, I sort of learned from the journaling thing. So I was like, I'm just totally starting small on this with literally like a deep breath. Then I went to 20 seconds. Been hanging at 20 seconds. Totally okay with that. Doing it every day without fail. Who can't listen to a breath for 20 seconds? I mean, it's almost just one breath, maybe two. And now I'm going to up it. What do you guys think? Wait, raise it. Show a hand. Okay, I'm going to go 45 seconds because nobody participated in that. By the way, did you guys, I'm assuming this happened to everybody, but when I announced that this was the 50, when I was like in the beginning, like approaching the actual 50, you should have had balloons fall from the ceiling. So if you, I'm assuming that happened. If you were the only person that didn't happen, it's just hard for me to wire. I know where everybody lives because I keep track, and I can see what most of you all are doing while you listen to this podcast. It's just a control thing that I do. It's kind of who I am. I like to have intense control on that level of my clients. I choreograph every move of my clients. I give them plans and I tell them what to eat at 10:30 and how much to measure. And so, how many milligrams of calcium to take. And so therefore, when I began my podcast, I was like, I need to know what every listener is doing every minute, because otherwise this is not going to work for me. But the benefit of that was that I was able to wire everybody's houses with balloons. And when I announced 50, boom, balloons fall down from the ceiling. Is that awesome? So if you're the one that didn't happen, it just means it was a glitch. It was a wiring glitch. My apologies to you, but you're the anomaly. Everybody else got balloons. But if you are the one who didn't get balloons, email me and I'll send you a balloon. Drinking a single malt tonight, kind of crappy, like a crappy one. It's not good. Not good. It's not bad, but it's not good. It's not the best. So I'm having a little, haven't had one in almost about a week. So I'm having one tonight, but I just, you know, I don't have a decent one. My birthday is coming up though in December, and my wife buys me a really awesome bottle every year, so I got that to look forward to. Okay, stream of consciousness. Here we go. I just wanted to kind of extend, before I get into the nitty gritty of this episode, a sincere thanks and for real just like I thanked Rich last week for and congratulated him on his 100th. For me, and that was, you know, what it was. But I want to thank all of you, and I really, really mean this from the bottom of my heart. It has been an incredibly cool thing. Part of it is I always kind of make fun of myself that I'm sort of like of the generation where I'm still amazed at technology. You know, I'm just like, video chatting, that's impossible. How does the people get in the screen? You know, that kind of, and so with podcasting, it was this like, just an amazing, I'm still amazed at the technology. I mean, through this technology, I have been able to reach literally people all over the entire world, 83 countries now. I have people listening in 83 countries. It started off with the country of my parents' house, was essentially my listenership. And now it's 83 countries. It's been incredible. I've heard from people. I get very supportive emails. That is, you know, honestly, as much as I'd love for you all to buy my t-shirts, that's a more valuable currency to me. And I really appreciate it. And I love hearing just the stuff that you guys email me about how you're taking this on yourself, and you're getting that it's really not about me, it's about you, and that you can do this. And then you write me and go, the message is you're feeling power in your own life. That's a win for me, you know, and it's just the coolest thing ever. I feel it just, anyway, keeps me going. So am I getting a little schmaltzy at 50? Not age 50, but episode 50? Yeah, I am. Because I really appreciate it. And I see the listeners grow, which means you guys are talking about it, because I don't got billboards. You know, I don't have any billboards. I don't have any ads. This is all word of mouth, 100%. Never has been. Otherwise, it's just word of mouth. So the fact that the listenership is growing is very cool and connecting to a small slice of people, albeit, but pretty cool. Okay, moving on. So quick recap. I mean, just 50 episodes. I'm looking back and I'm going, we have talked about selfishness. We've talked about hard work. Talked about dialing it in. Talked about staying in the game. Talked about tribes, nutrition, movement, the moving now. I've had Cody Goodell on there, Fat to Plant guy, who's awesome. I'm still in touch with him. Chef Del Schroff, great episode. My buddy, new buddy through this pod, by the way, through this podcast and book, Matt Frazier, No Meat Athlete. I mean, amazing. I've had this incredible group of people that I have done interviews with, and I got one, I think, coming up pretty soon, which is super cool. So just connecting with people who are doing their own deal and learning how they're doing what they're doing. So anyway, and just in looking back, it's kind of cool. Okay? Okay. Okay? Okay. I don't know why I do. Like, what's the behavioral? And that's the other thing I found out, like, just the things that I listen back and I go, why do I just go okay to air, essentially? But then I answer because I can see the response. I can see what everybody says when I say okay. I can see all of you nod in unison and that it is okay. And that makes me feel good. Okay. Are you guys ready to get wet? Are you ready to get wet? Because we're going in right now. We're going deep in the pool. Okay? The pool of knowledge. All right. What do I have to get to today? I have a few things on my mind. One of them is that I want to discuss the concept of discipline. Discipline is one of these things, like it certainly comes up in the subject of health and happiness for sure. Maybe not happiness, but certainly in the fitness sort of health realm. Right? Discipline. People will self-describe, I'm not very disciplined, or he's very disciplined. And in fact, I find it interesting only to me, because people would otherwise not describe me as disciplined, but people describe me as disciplined. They go, oh, you're really disciplined. And that may be, I guess, but what discipline implies for me is the implication is that there's a forcing of a hand. It's like it's sort of that ethic that exists, especially in America, by the way, but is in humans, maybe in the modern world, of this sort of like mind over body, you know, like you have to control your mind and control your body, right? So it's sort of this like, you know, squashing, you know, that kind of forcing yourself, like I've talked about all the time, like forcing yourself to the spin class, right? So it's like this, he has a lot of discipline. He goes to spin class 5 days a week. Now, does discipline like that exist? Absolutely. What I want to talk about is the bigger reality for me in my life, and that how that reality, how I want to communicate that to you, so that perhaps in your life you can take on things in through my small step philosophy, okay, that will enable you to live and be healthy, ready, wait for it, without having to be disciplined. Because for me, for instance, and not in everything, okay, I'm disciplined in some things. Here, you want to hear something I'm disciplined about? Getting up and going to work. I'm disciplined about getting up and going to work. There are many days, as much as I love that wellness center and being there, I'd rather be at home writing or, you know, whatever, and I go do that. Here's what I'm not disciplined in doing: brushing my teeth every day. That's not a discipline for me. I don't go, oh, for the love of, damn it, I wish I didn't have to brush my, oh, I'm getting up. I got to pull myself up by my bootstraps and go brush my teeth. Okay? Sid is so disciplined. That guy brushes his teeth twice a day. Who can do that? Who can do twice a day? The fact is everybody can do twice a day, and that's because, and most, some people even do more than that. That's just crazy. But the reason why most of us can brush our teeth twice a day is not because we're disciplined. It's because we've built that behavior into our reality and day to day such that we don't even think about it. We may think about this. It's worth it for us to brush our teeth because of the alternative, which is not usually attractive to people, which is to lose your teeth or to have to spend a whole bunch of money and time at a dentist's office. Okay, so, but the fact of the matter is most days we probably don't think about brushing our teeth in terms of any big picture stuff. It maybe was in the beginning before we made a choice about it. Maybe our parents communicated that to us as to why you brush your teeth. I certainly do with my children. The goal being that I'm helping them as a parent incorporate behaviors. I mean, that's sort of a parent's job, and that was part of what my article is. Yeah, in No Meat Athlete, but it's your job as a parent when your kids are small. They can't small step themselves because they don't have sort of that big picture thing. They're all like little sociopaths. They're kind of, you know, and your job is to sort of build in big picture stuff because kids will just do what they feel like. I mean, if you put Chicken McNuggets in front of a kid and a bowl of lettuce, they're going to go to the Chicken McNuggets. Most adults will too, but kids are going to just like, they're in that sort of reactive feeling mode all the time. And our thing is like, as a parent, is to say, and by the way, if you don't have kids, I'm talking about your relationship with yourself. Wink, wink. Okay, so it's like what I should have done in the Know Me the Athlete is said, if you don't have kids, imagine you being your own kid, because that's essentially how I come at my approach to health and happiness, which is to support yourself. To remember my golden rule, Sid's golden rule, do unto yourself as you would have others do unto you. It's because I look at you, self-care, taking care of yourself, teaching yourself to treat yourself well, learning new behaviors for teaching yourself new behaviors through the small step philosophy. You can teach your kid that, but you can teach yourself that. And you as an adult can move from a reactive, craving-based existence to one of treating yourself really well and understanding the long view of health and happiness and making choices most of the time based on that. But that is kind of that idea of building in behaviors over time so that there is no discipline to it. Now, do I run 5 to 6 days a week? Yes, I do. Am I miserable every time I run? No. I look forward to my runs. There's no discipline about it. For me, it's a balance issue. I'm miserable when I can't run. Okay. Now, are there some days where I don't feel like running? Yes. Is it a battle for me sometimes to not run? Yes. That's my thing. Okay. And I've talked about that before. And if you haven't heard, go back and listen. Okay. I'm noticing people are going back or at least starting like episodes way back, which is cool because you'll get sort of a sense of the context of the things that I talk about. But for me, my thing is like taking a day off, especially if I'm training for something, right? Not doing something. That's who I want to be. I want to be the guy who isn't locked into a plan or I must do something 6 days a week, regardless of how I feel on a given day. I may be fatigued and exhausted because my life is real. You know, because I don't go to bed at the same time every night because I stay up late some nights and that next morning I may not want to run. The other thing is that I'm training right now for a 50 and I'm learning how to run the slowest I've ever run in my entire life. So what's cool about that is that it's the least stressful my running has been on me ever. And I'm actually enjoying it even more. I'm going on trail runs over like soft sand. And I'm running, and it's hard, kind of, but I'm just every time I'm feeling like a little hard, I slow it down. Why? Because I've got to learn to pace myself over 50 miles. That blows my mind. Never done that before. So I'm like, okay, well, how can I bring this back down, dial this back down? Okay? The point is that discipline, when done correctly in terms of your own health and happiness, when you build behaviors into your life in a small step way, discipline gets taken off the table. You may need discipline in your life. You may need to be disciplined for certain things, okay? But in large part, the behaviors associated with health and happiness, movement, eating heavy box foods, socializing, keeping your tribe intact, connecting to nature physically and also just being there once in a while, eventually can be part of your life in a way that teeth brushing is, that it's something you over time eased your way into in such a seamless, easy fashion that there is no struggle after that. And that's my goal here. Okay. I mean, there is this kind of like, you know, bust your ass ethic around, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, and it gets people to achieve things, I guess, in their lives, but you have to understand that this whole thing of like, you know, mind over body, you know, you gotta no pain, no gain. You know, I did that whole no pain, all gain episode. You know, it's like this whole idea of like no pain, no gain. Well, that's kind of like the discipline part of it. And I believe that for health, you know, look, if you're a professional athlete and that's your job and you've got to be better than everybody else on the planet, then maybe no pain, no gain works for you. Maybe pushing your body at that level works for you, but then maybe that's not discipline for you because you love your job. Who knows? This is why it's not a one size fits all. This is what you have to decide for yourself. But know this, that your body will do what you ask it and make it to do. At least it will try. I mean, if you've never run in your life and you go, I'm going to run 26 miles, and you get off your couch, your body will make an effort to do it because you're making it do that. Chances are you're not going to make it, or if you do, you're going to be a little tad sore the next day, but your body's going to do it. And that's sort of this idea. But if you come at your body, and this is body/kid, in a supportive role, in a role that says, I want you to be healthier and happier, body, but I know that it takes time. And so I'm not going to force you to do the things that people who are way healthier and happier than I am do right now. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to understand that there are behaviors we can add in over time, and I'm adding those things in to support you. And if it seems stressful, then we're going to back off and do it in ways that aren't stressful, or at least minimally stressful. And then the idea of discipline kind of calms down a little bit, okay? And it's not a forcing of things. It's a who can't take a deep breath once a day, that kind of thing, okay? Who can't meditate every single day if you're just doing one breath? Everybody can. Is there discipline for me to meditate? Not really. Like, I got it dialed in now, okay? All right. So, and that reminds me of that whole dial it in episode, okay? Those were good times 4 weeks ago. Anyway, so that's the idea of discipline, okay? So I just wanted to kind of touch on that. I wanted to touch a little bit about, I like to, you know, I am a certified nutritionist, in case you're just joining me in this episode. And so once in a while I touch on, you know, things nutritionally, you know, relevant. just lost my brain there for a second. Could I edit that out? You betcha. Am I gonna? No. Anyway, what I was thinking of the other day is like, and this isn't such nutrition, but it has to do with food. So it is human nature for us to be driven to calories because, of course, we need calories to survive, calories being the things we burn for energy. The issue in the modern world, and I talk about this in my classes all the time, and I hope you take this away. The question should never, unless you are starving, okay, unless you literally don't have enough food to eat, if that's the case, you're all about calories. Like, you need to find calories. If you don't have enough food to eat, your body will be craving calories. That's what you need to survive. Okay, you would die without them. Assuming you have enough calories, which in at least in the United States and most developed countries, there ain't just enough. There's too many, which makes it all the more ridiculous there are people that are starving because, of course, we got more calories in this country. We have enough calories in this country, United States, to feed the rest of the world. I'm not even joking. We produce enough calories in this country to feed the rest of the world. But that's neither here nor there. My point is this. It is human nature for us to be drawn to calories. Okay, well, let me finish that last thought. So if you're starving, you need calories. If you're in this United States country or developed countries, the question and only question you should be asking is what comes with your calories. That's a question that nobody asks. They're going to ask about protein, but that's calories. And they're going to talk about carbs being bad for you, but that's calories. And then they're going to talk about fat, whether that's good for you, bad for you, or unsaturated fat, saturated fat, and so on and so forth. That's a caloric discussion. We don't need to talk about calories anymore unless we don't have enough. And then we talk about calories. Assuming we have enough calories, the question should be, well, if I'm going to eat protein, what's going to come with that protein? If I'm going to eat carbohydrate, what's going to come with that carbohydrate? If I'm going to have fat, what's coming with that fat? And when you answer that question, if the answer is a lot of stuff, then that food is healthy. If the answer is, not so much, then it's not. Okay, so let's take that down the line really quick. Okay, what comes with my whey protein? Virtually nothing. Puh, I spit on whey protein. Okay, I've done it before. I just spit on it again. I just spit on whey protein. Has gotten spit on twice, two times. What comes with my olive oil? Not much. Puh, I just spit on olive oil. Okay, I just made a little mix of olive oil and whey protein. I mixed it up in a glass, spit on it, threw it in the compost. Okay. What comes with my table white sugar? Nothing. Zero stuff. I just hawked a big one on white sugar. Okay. I added it to the drink, made it taste better. Light box or empty box foods, all three. Okay. If you ask what comes with your calories and you go, oh, that's a lot, like sugar in my peach, and you go, well, it comes with a ton, that's a healthy food. Okay. But what happens in the modern world is that human nature, in the wild, we are doing what? Looking for calories. See, in the wild, we don't go, what comes with my calories? In the wild, we go, don't know when my next meal's coming, don't know where I'm finding it. I'm going to look for calories. The good news is that most of the calories in the wild have stuff with them because they haven't been messed with by humans. Okay? That's why you don't stumble upon a Twinkie bush. Okay? Twinkie bush. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. Okay, there's a whole plethora of things I could say about a Twinkie bush. Dream? Nightmare? Yeah, don't know. I just had a vision of the Hostess apple pie. If you've ever eaten a corner of the Hostess apple pie, that's something to behold. Haven't had it in years, but the corner, you can pretty much toss the middle 4 inches, but the ends. That's all. They should just bag apple pie ends. Holy crap. Trademark. Don't tell Hostess that. I gotta register that thing. Anyway, my long-winded point is this. It is human nature to find calories because that's how we're designed in the wild. The choice only presents itself in the modern world when we have a choice between empty box or light box and heavy box. But the very human nature that we are designed with, some humans are smart enough in the modern world through, this is going to blow your mind, okay? Through human nature, which is to self-serve, they are taking advantage of human nature. So it is like human nature to be of self, to serve yourself. That's how you're designed. Okay, I argue that that's all good and fine, but that developing yourself enhances that and makes you able to actually serve others better the better you take care of yourself. But it is a natural design to self-care. Your body is right now trying to take the best care of itself it can given what you've done to it today. Okay? But it is human nature. Human nature in the modern world is taking advantage of human nature. The very greedy people who are developing these fast food gigantor companies and all the things that we are super duper attracted to, they know that. I mean, they know that given the choice, 9 times out of 10, people are not going to make a real choice. They're going to react to the smell of the Big Mac when they're walking by McDonald's and go in and get one. Because that's human nature. That's the natural human drive. And human nature, I was just thinking, it's like human nature is being taken advantage of by human nature. The very self-serving people who are don't have the developed kind of sense of the big picture of really what self-service means and being truly selfish in terms of treating yourself really well, they're going to go, how can I get rich quick, that kind of thing. Well, the best way to do that is to throw Lightbox Foods there because people are going to go after those. They're going to go after those. The very reason, by the way, that diet books are successful. You know why? Because you don't stick with one diet book. People go from diet book to diet book to diet book. It's in a huge industry because it feeds on that get rich quick kind of mentality of like, I've got to get this. This makes me be able to do the things I think I want to do as fast as possible and with zero effort. The same drive that we want to apply to finding calories. We're designed to expend as little amount of effort as possible to get calories. It doesn't make sense otherwise. It doesn't make sense to burn a bunch of calories to get calories. If we can get them easier, i.e. in a car, reaching our hand out the window at a drive-through, that's no calorie expenditure. And the return is a huge amount of calories. They're playing into the natural drive that you have. But here is where they fail, because they didn't bet on the fact that some of us, and hopefully more of us over time, are also going to understand that the ability of the human mind to think and to self-reflect and to be self-aware and to be creative in the way that we approach life can over time get on top of that such that choices can then be made in a longer-term context. And that's where they're going to lose the bet over time. And I'm hopeful, maybe naively, but the emails I'm getting from people that are giving, have moved on past addictions and past feeling in a rut and past, you know, going waffling from diet after diet and breaking that cycle are incredible. And if one human being can do that in the context of this crazy-ass world that we're living in, then that means every human being can, because essentially we're pretty much all the same and we're all related. So one person can go, well, I've done this my whole life, but I started to kind of ease my way in. I got really clear about who I want to be, about who I am, about what I value. And then I started to take little teeny, teeny, teeny steps, so small that people were making fun of me. It seems so stupid. And I did it. And then over time, and it took me a really long time, but really not that long in context of my whole life. I'm 40, so it took me a year, but that's 1 year out of 40. That ain't no big deal, really. Is it the 12-day, 7-day, 21-day, 30-day, 3-month thing? No. Compared to that, it's longer. But that you're comparing it to doesn't work. So let's just get that off the table right now. I mean, you can compare small steps to diets all the time, but it's apples and oranges. One lasts a lifetime. The other lasts for 7 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, however long it takes, 21 days, and it's done. It's over. Okay? Human nature, being taken advantage of by human nature. Figure that one out. Okay? Your job, you are being marketed to. Every time you walk out your door, you're being marketed to. The only way to get on top of that, if you so choose, is to use your mind to be aware more and more over time about who you truly are. Now, are you going to be aware 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No, no, no. Not even close. Are you going to give in to cravings now and then? Yes. It's only a balance of how much versus how much you, how many times you do that versus how many times you don't. How many times you treat yourself really, really well and how many times you don't. How many times you're in conflict with a choice you made and how many times you're not. It's the balance of that. You adjust the balance in your favor. You start to get healthier and happier. Okay? And that's essentially the simplicity of this program that I'm, and it's not even a program really, but my philosophy. It's what it is. It's a philosophy. Okay? It's a way to live in the world. That's what this is. It's an empowering way to live. You don't follow anything I tell you. Okay? Here's what you follow. The framework of small steps, the framework of adding behaviors, but the behaviors are yours to choose. Okay? I use the meditation thing and the journal thing. That's me. Those are examples that I did, but you don't ever have to journal. I'm not telling you that you need to journal. Do I think it's an excellent tool? I do. I think it's a fantastic tool. Okay? But you may not agree. But I think we can all agree, or hope eventually we can all agree, that coming at your life to change your life means adding in new behaviors over time. I mean, that's just, we can't get around that. We can argue about it, but I'm going to win. And you know that if you've listened to this podcast more than one episode, you know that I love arguments that you can't argue with me about. I love things you can't argue with me about. Okay? Okay. And might I add, and I think I brought this up, so I'm sorry if I'm being redundant here. Okay? But there is a pivotal point in the small step trek where you do it long enough and you actually become willing to let go of the results in order to live the way that you want to live. Okay? And I'm going to explain that. I guess it's, I was thinking about the other day, I was like driving along and I had this feeling or this question. I was like, what if you learned how to treat yourself really well and you put all these amazing behaviors in of exercise, fitness, low stress fitness, and eating heavy box foods most of the time and all this kind of stuff. And you were, and in the small step approach, in the way that I coach and the way that I do this podcast, you gain self-esteem and self-confidence in this process because you learn how much power you have. And you're also treating yourself well. So the message is, of course, that you're worth treating well. But then there's that result that you began the process perhaps with it, having this result in mind, which let's just throw it out there that it's weight loss. Let's just say that hypothetically, that's why you begin this process. You're like, you know, I get it. And I do want to be healthy, but I really want to lose weight because I feel like if I lose weight, I'll feel better in my body, X, Y, Z, all great. Don't need to justify it. You're good. Okay? But what happens, what would happen if I told you, not you, no you, not you, the you, yeah, you, yeah, 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 you, put your sandwich down for a second, listen to this, this is good stuff. What if I told you you can't lose weight? What if you took on all these behaviors and then I told you, because I can wire your house to have balloons coming down, so that's just like the tip of the iceberg of the power that I have. But what if I told you, you have no chance of getting to the weight that you were going to get to. The question I wanted to ask was, would you still make efforts to treat yourself well? What would your day like even if you couldn't get the results that you think you want? Would you still treat yourself well? Or would you say, well, then screw it. If I can't get the weight to where I want it to be, I might as well just start abusing myself. I mean, it's sort of like this reality of when you begin the process of small steps, you gain self-esteem, you gain self-confidence, you start feeling better about yourself. And then at some point, there's this little pivotal thing of like, if I get to the weight, great. And eventually, and of course, when you take that weight off your shoulders, the proverbial, you actually have a better chance of getting to that healthy weight because it's even less stress. I mean, the small step process removes the stress, certainly removes the stress of a diet where you might lose the weight, but then you gain it all back, and then there's no self-esteem or self-confidence in sight. That train's left the station. You're feeling worse about yourself than you did before you started the diet. Okay? So the point is in this process, you see the big picture and you see that it is not about the results. They may come, but they're already coming as soon as you start the process, because the what you are really wanting is to feel good about yourself. I mean, that's what you want. And this is a practice of you feeling better about yourself every day for the rest of your life. There's no end date. There's no scale weight. There's no, you know, blood test. You take it on and you become that person. And there's that just that you let it go. You let that result go. And it'll come. It'll come if you just keep the process going. You stay in the game. Okay? All right. 50 episodes. My God. Now, what I didn't tell you was I actually recorded all 50 on that very first day. And I've just been posting these once a week. But I recorded 50 episodes in 24 hours. And they're each about an hour long. How did I do it? That's my secret. That's the technology. It's amazing. Okay. So let's talk about what else I got going here. This could be a long episode. I don't know. I got a few more things to go over. So, you know. I had an idea. And that was that, this is like totally stupid. It's kind of like, I'm throwing it out there, but I was thinking how funny it would be to be, I'm going to start a healthier, happier and healthier race. It's going to be called the H&H race, the happier and healthier race. Okay. I'm going to plan a race because I've been doing, you know, I got that 50 coming. So I thought I'm going to organize my own race. It's going to be called the happier and healthier race. There's no running involved, by the way. I'm going to set it for about a year from now. And over the next year, you're going to train, to be healthier and happier. And because you're a small stepper, you understand it can't be overnight. You can't wake up tomorrow and be healthier and happier, like as healthy and happy as you want, necessarily. Okay? It takes a while. If you want to change your health and happiness, you know that that takes time. So over the next year, we're going to set it for a year from today. Today's September 1st, 2014. September 1st, 2015. That's the day, that's the race day. So you're going to take this whole year and you're going to add small steps. Where do I need you to get to? Up to you. I don't set that. You're going to set your small steps. You're going to build off of them. You might start with a breath, and in a year from now, you might be up to 3 breaths. You're as successful as the person next to you, okay? You're going to be training for the next year. Now, here comes race day. What do you do on race day? Okay, this is the bad boy, right? You get up 6 a.m. You might have trouble sleeping the night before because race day jitters the night before, right? So it's kind of rough. It's okay. It's all right. Take it easy. You don't want to do carbo loading because that's a load of crap. You do want to sort of the day before lunch, breakfast, you know, eat pretty well because that next morning, that's kind of what you're using. You can get up and eat a bunch of stuff, but you're not going to be burning that for energy. Let's face it. So get up in the morning about 6 a.m., probably still a little dark outside. You wander up your family. If you have a family in your house, they probably don't disturb them. Okay, just get up. Race day and kind of wander in, brush your teeth. That's not discipline. You're going to do that half asleep just because that's what you do. You're going to the kitchen, drink a glass of water. That's going to be the thing that you, one of the things maybe that you built into your day to day. And so now you just get up and drink a glass of water. You don't even think about it. Get an apple out of the fridge, eat that. And then you go into the living room and you got your clothes that you set out for your race, right? So you're going to put those on. And that's fine too. And then if you join the healthier and happier and healthier race, the H&H race, you'll get a number, a number to pin on yourself, and the pins that they give out at the race, which are called safety pins, which I find quite ironic because there's no way you can't poke yourself with those just miniature little safety pins that are near impossible unless you're 2. And have the size hands of a 2-year-old, then you're gonna poke yourself. So that's okay too. That's just part of the race day jitters. So you're gonna pin that to your shorts, and then it's race time, and you go out your door, and you know what you do? You just live better, and happier, and healthier than you did a year before, and the time went by super fast, and you're a person that feels a lot better about themselves, because no matter how far you got as far as what somebody would look at you and say about your weight or about your skin or about your job or about whatever, you know, and you don't need them to tell you that you're living better than you were a year before. And you've you've basically won the race. Okay? So I'm starting it today. All right? There you go. That's how you train. And that's what it means. Okay? The happier and healthier race. Okay? The entry fee is, don't have one. God, I'm the worst race organizer. Oh. Anyway, it takes time, everybody. Okay, why did I go off onto that? Because I was just thinking about what it would look like a year from now. I mean, I don't want you to get hung up on a year. But what if I just said it's a year? It's a year. That would blow every, it was just like, oh my God, that's such a long time. Years go fast, and you're going to live the year anyway. So if you're going to be going on for the next year anyway, adding some small steps in guarantees you in a year being different than you are today. That's your future. Whoa, what happened? Look what Sid did. He, being me in the third person, just jumped ahead to the subject of this week's episode, okay, which is tell your future. One of the things I waited for in the podcast for the 50th. Okay, I didn't want to. If I had let this information out beforehand, you would have probably thought I was a quack, or you would have just wouldn't have related to it. You wouldn't have believed it. Maybe you thought, well, he sounds legit. He's, you know, but then this is just crazy. So lucky you if you've been listening since episode one, because here we go. Ready? This is the big secret of the small step episode. Now, I joked a while back that I had a big announcement about Taylor Swift, and that wasn't a joke. Okay, she's got some damn good songs. I'm still discovering on this record, Red. There's a few. I mean, some just songs I just put right in the compost. They wouldn't even compost. They're so artificial. But some of them are just great. It's embarrassing. They're all about boys. Here's the secret. Okay, here's the secret about this approach to health and happiness. Are you ready? You guys are ready now. I'm not even going to ask you. You are ready for this information. Okay, hold it true, hold it dear, and hold it close. Okay, and don't let it go. When you small step change into your life, one of the benefits, besides the self-esteem and the self-confidence and increased health and happiness, is that you learn how to tell your future. You learn how to tell your future. You can tell the future. That's amazing. Okay? I know if you've ever visited a psychic or you've ever, you know, done all that kind of new agey stuff, you know I'm not like the big new agey guy. Don't have anything against it. Just not in my bag. Okay? But this is a mind blower. When you small step, you learn to tell your future. No tarot cards necessary. Okay? And here's how you do it. Ready? Get your notepad out. All right. When you act in your life based on, I'll put it this way, when you come up to a choice that you think you have in front of you, and you followed the small step thing and you said, well, that's Sid, he's kind of kooky, but I'm just going to like do what he told me to do, which I'm going to write down exactly who I want to be, but I'm going to write it in I'm going to write it in present tense, and I'm going to say, I want to be thin and fit, so I'm going to write, I am thin and fit. I want to work for company X and be the vice president of company X. So I'm not going to write that I want to be that. I'm going to write, I am vice president of company X. I'm a really jealous person with my relationships, and it's debilitating to me. I want to not be jealous. So I'm going to just write, I am not a jealous person. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to humor Sid. Okay. He's bald. I feel bad for him. He lost his hair for crying out. I got to throw him a bone on this one. Okay. So I'm going to write this down. I'm going to write down who I am. And then Sid told me that when I write that, then I look at that, and that is actually who I really am, because it's the things that I find valuable. It's the things I value and the things I hold dear. Otherwise, why would I write them? It's the things that I mostly want, and therefore I hold them. They are the most important things in me. I am a really good husband. I love my wife and treat her really well. We travel all the time together. We love being together. We X, Y, Z. And I did this thing and Sid told me to do it. And now I'm looking at this, I'm going, but in reality, I'm not that. And then I'm also not fit and healthy. And I'm also come home really irritable and pissed off. And I turn out to be not that nice to my wife. But I value that, because otherwise, why would I write that I am? And then there's this conflict. So now you've got this, here's the reality versus here's what I value. And now through the small step approach, you reconcile those two. And when you come into a decision that you have to make in your life, let's go to food, okay? Let's say in your paragraph, you write, I eat healthy food. Now you're presented with, at a party, a dish of really healthy food and a dish of not healthy food. Now, the dish of not healthy food has a ton of protein in it. Well, then it must be healthy, right? Sid, no, because what it comes with is not much, okay? Healthy food on one plate, not healthy food on the other. You make a decision. Now, if you go to those plates of food and you go, oh man, I don't know what do I want? I feel craving to the chicken McNuggets because they just taste freaking good. You know, they're super salty. They got the hot mustard sauce and the barbecue sauce, which, by the way, if you ever do McDonald's, you dip in both per bite. Okay. It's just, I learned that, I have experience. Okay. This is just me. I'm going to pass that on for free. You get that one for free. Okay. Each chicken McNugget, one dunk in the mustard, one in the barbecue, boom, in your mouth. I haven't done it for years. I'm just saying that's how you do it. So you have a choice. Now, if you make the decision, this is how you tell your future. If you make the decision based on the person that you truly are, not how you feel in the moment necessarily, and by the way, those end up matching up the more you do this, but that's for a later date. If you make the decision in that moment based on who you truly are, that person in that paragraph, you'll know the future of exactly how you're going to feel about that decision after you make it. And that's how you learn to tell your future. You know, like the other day when I talked about my run, where I didn't feel like running and I just was like, should I turn back? I should trust my feeling. I'm fatigued and everything. And I asked that question, who am I? Who am I? Did I really not want to run because I was tired, or did I not want to run because I had a ton of work to do and it was stressing me out, even though none of it had to be done in the next hour? And I made that, I didn't, the thing is, wink, wink, guys, it wasn't even a decision. When you appeal to the person who you truly are, the decision's made. It's already made. And you tell your future because you know exactly how you're going to feel after that. When I appeal to who I truly am, which is, I am not a guy who cuts short the very little amount of time I have in my life for myself to go do some work that didn't need to be done in that moment. I knew that I was going to feel good about that decision. There was no conflict around it. When I finished my run, I didn't go, ah, man, I should have worked. I was like, right on. I am so happy I freaking ran. You tell your future because you know how you're going to feel based on that. You know how you're going to feel. And actually, the counter is true too. Most people know when they act in conflict with who they truly are that they're going to feel crappy after it. Even though they might enjoy that chicken McNugget, if it's in conflict for you, you're going to feel crappy about it. Now, here's a little reality check, okay? When some people hear me talk about these kinds of things when I'm teaching classes and everything else, they think that I'm trying to tell you that you should eat the healthy food at that party. But I want you to be very crystal, crystal clear that that is not at all what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying is, you may be the person who in your paragraph says, I eat really, really well most of the time, and once in a while I have treats. And if that's the case, the decision you might make at that party might be to have that unhealthy food. I mean, I'm drinking a freaking single malt. Okay, there's no conflict for me because in my life, I don't drink single malt scotch enough to make me unhealthy. I'm doing the things that I do. I don't get sick. I run. I have energy. I'm in a good mood most of the time. I feel good. If I didn't, I would look to the scotch and say, am I drinking too much scotch? Am I drinking too much coffee? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I hanging out with friends enough? Am I at least keeping contact with them? Am I in nature? Am I taking deep breaths? Am I, you know, these are the questions I would ask. But I would certainly go to the scotch and go, this may be not good for me. This may be affecting my level of health and happiness. But I want you to be clear that it doesn't mean that the decision is already predetermined. It just means it has to be based on who you are deep down, who you truly are. I don't tell you that. That's not my job. My job isn't even to tell my clients who that is. They tell me who that is, and then we work together to teach them. I work with them to teach them, and I'm hopefully with you, how to get closer to that over time. This is the small step philosophy in a nutshell. How to get as close to who you truly are over time. And the closer you get, the more you are able to tell your own future that this happier and healthier race is, you know the outcome of that race over time. You know the outcome. You know what your life is going to look like because you already value those things. You already know what you're going to feel like and how your life is, what your life is going to look like when you take small steps, because you're setting those things in motion when you begin the process. Okay? This is what I'm talking about. And why did I choose 50? Because I don't even know. I mean, I really don't, except for 50 sort of like I said, that's a clean number. And it's sort of like, okay, well, now we've gotten up to 50. And now what? What's next? And the what's next question is a small steppers question, because as soon as you incorporate the step that brings you a little closer to who you are, the next question out of your mouth is always, okay, what's next? And the answer may be, I'm good. The answer may be, I'm in the question of, well, I did this healthy food and this healthy food, and then I added to that healthy food. Now I'm eating this kind of way every day with zero discipline, by the way, because I just feel freaking good about it. What next? Nothing. I'm good. I think I'm good. Am I happy? I'm a little stressed. Okay. Well, maybe what's next is a journaling step, or a meditation step, or a stepping outside once a day step. But the question's always there. And you, over time, not only learn to add in small steps, but get better and better about answering that question, what's next? Because the more you small step in your life, the better you get at it, and the better you get to know yourself. And that even if you have to ramp back a step, because like I did, about 10 minutes a day in journaling, the ramping back is more knowledge about myself. I learned something new. It had failure, was not even on the table. It had nothing. There's no failure because it wasn't set. It was set by me. I didn't win or lose anything by dialing back 10 minutes. In fact, I did win. I won because now I journal every day. I got to know what I was able to take on. That's a great amount of knowledge. So much so that guess what I did, as I just told you, when I wanted to take on meditation? I was like, I better start this small, because if it's anything like journaling, I know myself to know that I tend to take on too much. Even stuff that sounds minimal, pretty big. I better dial that back if I actually want to make a change in my life, a real change in my life. And I was able to tell my own future. I was able to tell my own future about journaling, and I was able to tell my own future about meditation. I knew over a month ago, but 4 months ago with journaling, almost now, 3 months, that I was going to be journaling every day. I knew it because I knew that, one, it's a value of me. It's one of my values of thinking and attending and reminding myself of who I am, using journaling to that end, is a value to me. It's who I am. And two, that I know the small step approach, which is that I may not have told the future in terms of on, you know, this date and time I will then be doing it, but I knew my future. I knew that I'd be journaling every day. I knew that I'd be journaling every day because I knew that I could go as small as possible, even if it was one word on a piece of paper or even if it was a piece of paper in my pocket. Okay? Now, I mentioned that I was thinking about taking a break from coffee or recalibrating on that a little bit, and I'm still thinking about it because here's the thing, guys. Thinking is an amazing first step. Just thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. Right now, I'm just kind of every day, I'm kind of working through it. I'm like really asking myself, do I really feel like the cup? I'm just kind of going through the motions in that thing with regards to a goal, which is not the militancy of like, I'm going to stop having coffee forever, but of, well, I really enjoy coffee, but maybe it's affecting me in terms of my sleep. I don't know. For me, one of my values is that I don't like to be beholden to something, or that I can't exist in a given day without something. I don't like that, giving my power away like that to something. Now, do I enjoy coffee? I do. But do I want to be in control of it versus in control of me? Yes, because that's a value to me. But that's me. But my future, I think I can tell, which is that I will get on top of this. I will end up taking a break and I will document that in my podcast. And I will tell you when that is. You'll know because I'll be irritable in this podcast. I'll be like, I hate everybody. And on that note, no, what a horrible way to end this episode. I'm not going to end it right now. I'm going to end it in about 30 seconds. Learn to tell your future with the small steps by getting to know over time who you truly are. A diet and a quick fix takes you out of the game. It gives you a break from your life, which sometimes is fun and not necessarily a bad thing. But if you want to learn to tell your future, then you have to start learning about who you truly are. And it is then that you will understand that the choices you make that are in line with who you truly are will make you feel better. That's a fact. You will feel better. You'll be able to know, if I do this, I will feel better afterwards. In the future, I will feel better if I make this decision. And if I don't make that decision, if I do the thing that's in conflict with who I truly am, I'll regret it. And that may be okay for now. That may be okay for now. Again, it's the beginning of the process. Don't even change what choice you make right now. But just be aware of, like, yeah, I do that. I'm going to feel like crap about it. Okay? I'm going to feel like crap about it. But now I know. And the more I know, the better choices I can make next time or next time or next time when it comes, when you're motivated to take it on. Okay? If I had a heart attack today, I would give up coffee immediately without conflict. Okay? It depends on what you're ready to take on. Giving up coffee after a heart attack would be my small step, just all the way. All the way. I may not even, if my doctor said you can never have coffee again, I'd be like, fine. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. Why? Because that's the motivator for me. It's more important for me to stay alive than it is for me to drink coffee at the end of the day. Right now, I can do both. You figure out who you truly want to be, and then you get over this thing over time, and this is why this podcast will be going for a while. How long? I don't know. But it's been on for 50, and it's going to keep going. Because if I don't come on here every week to remind you and to keep you in this process with me, then you're going to be beholden to the levels of things that people are telling you to do, that journaling has to be for a minimum of 15 minutes, that exercise has to be for 20 minutes at your target heart rate, that eating healthy food has to be 100% of the time, no matter what, at the expense of socialization and everything else, and enjoyment. You're going to be beholden to those external factors that sometimes are trying to sell you something and other times just missing the mark. If you want your future to be closer to who you truly are, then you small step it today. And you begin that process today, because you can, just by thinking about it, just by even listening to this podcast. You just began the process. You just began the process. How incredible is that? All right? You know what else is incredible? That you guys come on here every week to listen to me and try to wade through this insane world that has some pretty awesome stuff in it for us to experience and to do, but also some stuff that will lead us down a path that doesn't make us healthy and happy unless we pay attention. And when you come each week to listen to me and we, in this process together, try to negotiate a very unnatural world in a little more of a natural way, we learn to thrive. And in doing so, affect all the people in our lives, and they affect all the people in their lives, and so on and so forth. And this becomes a way for our species to exist better in this world. Not perfect, but no matter. Definitely better. I will leave you with that. I thank you for joining me today, and I will be back next week, man, with 51, okay? Talk about anticlimax, episode 51. All right, you guys. If you guys feel the need to email me, or the desire, more importantly, the need, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com is where you can email me. I love hearing from you. And of course, if you ever feel like working with me, you can get me there too. All right. All right, you guys. Thanks again. And I wish you all well. In the meantime, I'll be back next week. You know where I'll be. All right. All right, you guys. Be well.
I drank you a whiskey, but it left me undrunk. I climbed with a serpent to see what I'd done. I rose past the roses, bloom brighter than the sun. I wished up some wishes, I thought you had begun. So where are you now, with things to be said? And the days colored in, cause I'd have followed you way out of here. Cause I'd have followed you way out of here. I love from the wonder and found a way clear. Lived through the worst offer, then drowned in a tear. I draw myself bravely, but sometimes act from fear. So I slide from a rail and let go all that's dear. Way And this day's all cut it in.